If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 23. Right now, we're in a little mini-series on the prayer adventure. We're talking about prayer. Because a few weeks ago, as we studied the book of Acts, we came upon the verse about a man named Cornelius. And here's what the Bible says about Cornelius. It says he gave generously and he prayed faithfully. And that phrase, prayed regularly or prayed consistently, just grabbed me. So I thought, that's who I want to be. And if I could be known by that, think about it. My funeral, if they could say, you know, Pastor Kevin, he gave of his money and his time generously, and he prayed regularly, I'd take that. But then in Romans chapter 12, verse 12, the Apostle Paul gives us a command. He says, be faithful in prayer. And I like that command because I can do that. That's something that I can attain to. That's something I can strive. It could be a goal in my life, is that I pray regularly and be faithful in prayer. But I got thought about it is, do I know how to do that? I've talked about before when I tried to begin my prayer life, I was an intern here during the church, and sometimes I'd pray for 5-10 minutes and I'd run out of things to say. I didn't know what to pray for. Like, I've prayed for everything I knew to pray for, and now I don't have anything to pray for. Or at other times, my mind would wander. You ever done that? When I first tried to start developing a prayer life, I didn't really have it was before mobile phones. But now, if I'm not careful, I find myself scrolling on my mobile phone. And the next thing you know, my prayer time's gone and I've wasted time. And so we've been talking about the last few weeks, how can we develop a consistent, regular time of prayer with God, each of us? And here's our goal. And my challenge to everyone here is a simple challenge. Wherever you're at in your prayer life, we're challenging you to take one step further. Some of you, you're going to start a prayer life. You're like, I really never really pray, except I'm gonna, there's an emergency. But I'm going to start having a consistent time with God. Some of you are saying, I want to make it consistent. I kind of want those stop and starters. I start praying, then I stop, and I start. Kind of like a diet, you know what I'm talking about. But you're saying, you know what, I want to get to the point that I pray consistently and pray regularly. Maybe some of you, this is my goal during this time, I'm part of this too, is I'm pretty consistent in my prayer time. That's something that a discipline that I developed. But if I'm not careful, it can become a rut and become something that I kind of check the box every morning. Okay, I did my Bible reading today. I did my prayer time today. But it loses kind of its impact. It's kind of lost its intimacy. And so my goal during this time is, God, I want to renew my prayer time with you. I want to go deeper. I don't want it just to be a routine, but I want it to be a meaningful time of my day. And so we talked about, if you're going to develop a regular time of prayer, you've got to have three things. Number one, you've got to have a time that you're going to pray. We want you to make an appointment with God. Monday at such and such time, I'm going to pray. Now for me, I'm a morning person, so I get up. Most days between 5 and 5:30, I'm awake. If you ever notice, I post those videos every morning. I post those videos pretty early in the morning because even if I can sleep in, Friday's my day off. And our office is closed on Friday. So Friday's the one day of the week, the only day of the week I can sleep as long as I want to. This Friday, I was up at 4:30 in the morning. I'm like, God, it's the one day, you know, the one day that I can sleep. I'm a morning person. So my time with God is usually first thing in the morning. I get up, I make a cup of coffee, and I have my time with God. You know what? If I make an appointment to see my attorney or if I have a doctor's appointment, I keep my appointment. I'm one of those guys that I cannot be late. When Kathy and I first started dating, she understand preachers are early. Preachers are early. I cannot be late. Like for me, if it starts at 6, I'm there by 9:45. If I'm later than 9:45, I'm late. And that's late for me. I'm early. And so I keep my appointments. Now listen, if you keep your appointment with your doctor or your attorney or whoever, keep your appointment with God. Keep an appointment with God. Number two, I want to have a place of prayer. I believe you ought to have a holy place. That word holy means set apart. You have a place in your life. You say, this is where I'm going to meet God. So I make an appointment with God. Then I say, this is where I'm going to meet God. Now, to keep it fresh for me, that changes for me. I love to sit outside on my front porch or my back patio. This week has been beautiful weather. Get up in the morning, cup of coffee, sit on that front porch, that rocking chair. Man, me and God's had some good times this week. You know what I mean? It's just a wonderful place to be. When it gets really hot, I've got a certain place in the house, a certain chair, and that's my prayer chair. But the only time I ever sit in that chair is in our spare bedroom, so it's not a room that's used a lot. But when the only time I ever sit in that chair is when I pray. It's a holy place for me. It's a place that I meet God. I encourage you, have a time to pray, have a place to pray. Then three, you got to have a plan. See, if you don't have a plan, you could be like me, run out of things to say in 5 minutes, don't know what to do, what to say, or you get bored and you get scrolling, and the next thing you know, 30 minutes is gone, and all you've done is waste time on social media. I've learned that if I have a plan, that if I have a pattern of prayer, that it enables me and helps me to make the best use of my time with God. Now, a few weeks ago, we gave one pattern of prayer, and we're going to end the series with it again, and that's the Lord's Prayer. But today, I want to teach you another pattern of prayer. So turn to Psalm 23, the most famous psalm. I love this psalm. Sometimes, the one thing I regret, this psalm's usually read at funerals or at grave sites, and it's kind of a downer, but this is an incredible psalm. And in this psalm, in Psalm 23, it gives you 7 prayer points you can pray every day. 7 prayer points you can pray every day. So we're going to read the song because I just think it's so beautiful. Then we're going to go over these 7 prayer points, okay? Read it with me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Isn't that beautiful? It's a beautiful psalm. Now I'm going to encourage you to take notes because there are 7 things you can pray for out of this psalm. Now here's the importance of why we pray scripture. In 1 John, here's what the Bible promises. It says, if you pray anything that's according with God's will, the Bible says he what? He hears you. And if he hears your prayer, the Bible says you can be guaranteed that he will answer your prayer. The Bible's the written will of God. See, one of the keys of receiving answers to prayer is to pray the Bible. If you get your prayer request out of Scripture, you know you're praying the will of God. And if you know you're praying the will of God, you know he hears your prayer, and he promises that if he hears it, he'll answer it. So these 7 prayer points are taken right out, thank you, sir, are taken right out of the Bible, and you can be sure this morning to receive answers to prayer. So here's the first one. Pray for guidance. The Lord is my shepherd. What does a shepherd do? He leads sheep. Now, have you ever been around sheep very often? Sheep are dumb. When the Bible refers to us as sheep, it's really not all that complimentary, you know what I mean? Sheep on their own would just go astray. Sheep need a shepherd. You know what? So do I. You know what? So do you. You can pray every day, God, any decision you have to make in your life, God, I pray that you would lead and guide me in this decision. If you're in high school and you're trying to determine what university to go to or what to major in, do you know the Bible says God can lead you into the right major, into the right university? Right now, I've got 2 of our children who are getting to make major decisions in their life. And I prayed this prayer this morning. I sat in my chair inside, and it's kind of foggy and muggy this morning, so I prayed inside the house. And I prayed for Tyler and Trace and said, God, guide my kids in making the right choice. I don't know what the right choice is. And right now, those of you who parent adult children, they don't listen to me anyway. So God, please guide my children on doing that. My daughter and her husband are making a major decision in their life. And I prayed for them this morning. God, I pray for Sarah and Levi. God, that you would guide them and give them wisdom. You can, any decision, there's nothing too small, nothing too great that you can't pray about. The Lord is your shepherd. He is your guide. He will lead you into right decisions. I want you to know that you can pray this for you. You can pray it for your family. Any decision you have to make, you can pray for guidance and God's leadership in your life. So you're a sheep. He's your shepherd. He's committed to you. He's never going to leave you or forsake you. If you ask God for wisdom or for guidance, you can be assured that that God will lead you and guide you. So the first thing it says here, the Lord is my shepherd, is pray for God's leadership in your life. Pray that God will guide. Listen, you can even pray this. You've got a thing at work, maybe a problem to solve, and you don't know how to solve it. You know what the best thing you can do is pray. God, I got this problem, and I don't know how to solve this problem. God, would you guide me in this? Would you lead me in this? You're my shepherd. You can show me how to solve this. See, you've got God's leadership in your life. So many times, we don't depend upon God enough. We do things our way, then we get in trouble. Then we pray, oh, God, get me out of trouble, right? Wouldn't it be better to pray on the front end that God would help you solve this problem or that God would give you guidance and leadership? Pray it on the front end before you get in trouble rather than waiting that you do the wrong thing, you do the stupid thing, and then, oh, God, get me out of trouble, right? So this morning, I prayed for guidance as your pastor on how to lead the church. I prayed for guidance. God, show me what I'm supposed to preach. I prayed for my son. I prayed for my daughter. You can pray for guidance in your life, and the Holy Spirit will lead you as you make. You'll just know in your knower what you're supposed to do. Number two, pray for provision. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That word means lack. I will have no lack in my life. Do you know that the shepherd helps the sheep find food? And I want you to know that if you need provision in your life, God is your provider. If you need financial help, ask God to help you financially. But he can provide in any. If you're lonely and you don't have a friend, say, God, bring a friend in my life. Whatever need that you have, he is your provider. That way you will have no lack. There's another scripture in the New Testament that says, as God came to give you life and life more what? Abundantly. You know what that word abundantly means? More than enough. When he says, I shall not want, I will have no lack, I will have more than enough in my life. You have a God that loves you and cares for you, and he wants to provide for you. And so I pray today for a provision. You know, we've got this access road that we're going to be able to build, but right now we've got an access road without the money to build the access road. I said, God, it's not my job as pastor to provide money for the access road. You're the shepherd. You said we'd have no lack. God, would you miraculously provide the finances we need to build as a church to build that road? Do you know you can pray that in your life? You can pray it over your children. You can pray that God, Jehovah Jireh, is your provider. That's God's name. He is your provider. So you can pray for guidance. You can pray for provision. I love number three. Pray for peace. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restores my soul. You can pray against depression, anxiety, worry, and fear. See, God is your shepherd. He doesn't want you to be bound by those things. He doesn't want you to live with a dark cloud over your life. You say, God, I'm worried. I can't sleep. God, help me lie down in green pastures. God, help me lie beside not rushing waters. I don't want to be in the storm of life. God, help me lie down by still waters. God is a God of peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And I want you to know one of the best ways to learn how to pray is pray your worries. Bible says too. In Philippians it says, worry about nothing, pray about everything. Do you know that? Best thing you can do, listen. If you wake up in the middle of the night and you're worried about something, do you know the best thing you can do is pray? Pray. God, I wake up worried about my child. God, I bring my child to you. I can't do anything about it. I can't intervene, but God, I trust you. And right now, I bring my child to you, and I just believe in the name of Jesus, you're going to see, you can get peace through prayer. Worry about nothing. Be anxious about nothing. Fret over nothing. That is not a suggestion from the Bible. You know, that's a command from the Bible. The Bible says, commands you not to worry. So the best way not to worry is to pray. Turn your fears into prayers. Turn your worries into prayers. I'm human like you. There's time I worry about things. Like I said, when you got, you know, I've kind of learned, who here is a parent of adult children? Your children or girl, you know? I kind of look back. It was easier to be parent of a preschool child because you are a dictator. Amen. Ultimately, they're going to do what you tell them to do, right? But when your children get in their 30s, you're no longer dictator. You hope to be influencer, right? I mean, you hope to have some influence on your adult children. And so it's helpless. One thing that you'll never, ever, ever hear me do, at least on purpose, is act like I'm some kind of expert parent. Because there's nothing that's driven me to my knees more than when my kids go through something and I don't know what's best for them. I don't know what to do and I can't do anything about it. If you got pride in your life, just be a parent. It'll humble you quickly, right? It'll humble you quickly. And there's times as a parent, all I know to do is to get on my knees and bring my kids to God. If you've got unsaved children or grandchildren, listen, God can give you a peace about your children and grandchildren. God can bring your children and grandchildren home. But we've got to be people who pray. God answers prayer. We've got to be people who call our kids out to God. We've got to be people who are like the widow who just was so persistent that she just bothered the judge to the point that because we will not give up on our children. We will not give up on our God. You know the worst thing you do when you stop praying about something? You're basically admitting you gave up on God because you just don't believe he was going to do it. But I believe God's going to do it. And I've just determined I've got some big prayers in my life and I'm just not giving up. I'm just not giving up. You know, I told you a few weeks ago, the last couple weeks, just a miracle in our own family. My mom and dad aren't here this morning as they're visiting my brother in Louisville. And they went up Thursday and stayed with my niece in her new home with her husband and their children. And I'm just telling you, I called Thursday night to make sure my mom and dad got there okay, because sometimes they get lost. And so I wanted to make sure they got there safely. And I said, what are y'all doing? And my dad said, Kristen's making us dinner. I about fell over. I'm being honest. There was a day Kristen wasn't taking care of herself. It's a miracle. But we prayed for decades for Kristen. Not a day, not one prayer, not two prayers, not a month of prayers, not a year of prayers. 10, 15, 20 years of prayers. And there's times when we were praying. She wasn't getting better. She was getting worse. And they now live in this beautiful home. Her husband owns his own business. He does concrete work in the Louisville area. They're thriving. I was with their pastor. They attend AG Church in Louisville. Last Monday, I was actually with their pastor. They just became members. I think this week they're dedicating their new baby in the church. And it's just amazing. Just amazing. Now, I've got other people on my list who are far from God. They're further away from you. It's the opposite way. What I've learned, you just don't stop. You just don't stop. You don't give up on God. I'll tell you, miracles can happen. And God, even though I've got people who I love dearly who are far from God right now, I've got a peace. I've got a peace that at some point, in some way, God in his timing and his way is going to turn that situation around. But you know what? If I ever stop praying for them, if I ever stop praying about it, you know what begins to happen to me? I get unsettled in my spirit. See, persistently, regularly, faithfully praying about things keeps a peace in your heart. It guards you against the attacks of the enemy. Then there's another phrase here. It says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Have you ever just been tired? Have you? Have you ever just been empty on the inside? I want you to pray this prayer. God, this morning I come to your presence. You got your cup of coffee. You got your Bible. You're looking at Psalm 23. And you say, God, this morning, restore my soul. God, I'm empty. God, I don't have anything left inside of me. God, I don't know if I can make it another day. God, I'm discouraged. God, I'm bearing too heavy a burden. Restore my soul. Refresh me. That word means to refresh you. You know, the Bible says that you renew your joy in the presence of God. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. That's what the Bible says. This is a great thing to pray for yourself. God, just fill me today. God, I'm tired. I've been working overtime. God, I feel like a taxi driver without a parent. We go from here, there, here, there, here, there. I look at Pam and Larry Smith, who's been going to the funeral home every day because her sister, nursing home because their sister is coming to end of life. Get tired, right? Carrying that extra burden, going every day to love on your family. Some of you are caring for elderly parents. That can get weary, can't it? Get weary to care for your elderly parents. God, restore my soul. God, I need you to refresh me today. So you pray for guidance, pray for provision, to pray for peace. Number four, pray that God will shape your character. He leadeth me down path of righteousness for his name's sake. God, you see my temper. God, last night I yelled at my kids, and God, I don't want to be that kind of parent. God, I got irritable at work, and I said something I shouldn't have said. God, you see this habit that I got that I know is not pleasing to you, and God, I want to be delivered from that. God, shape my character. I every day I say, God, make me a better man. God, make me a better man. It's a prayer that I pray regularly. God, make me a better man. Help me to be a better husband to my wife. Help me to be a better father and grandfather. Help me to be a better pastor. God, you've got to make me a better man. Maybe some of you are battling addiction. You know what? I just can't stop the pornography, or I can't stop the tobacco or the alcohol, or the drugs, or whatever addiction you may have. I want you to know you got a deliverer, and you can go to God and say, God, I need to be set free from that. Lead me to paths of righteousness. And look at that, for your name's sake. God, set me free from this so that you can receive glory. Set me free from this so I can live for you. Set me free from this so I can be a better husband and a better father, a better parent. So God, our home could be a godly home. God, shape me into your image. Make me a man or a woman of God. It's a great way to pray. And pray that over your family. God, I pray for my son today. Make my son a man of God. If you've got an adult son who's married, pray that he'd be a better husband and father. God, I pray for my daughter today. Make her a woman of God. God, may she walk in your presence, and may she be pleasing to you, and may she glorify. Pray for your kids and your grandkids that way. Pray that God will form them and shape them into his image. The best thing you can do as a parent or grandparent is to pray over your kids and grandkids. Say, God, shape me. Listen, husbands, fathers, shape me to be a man of God, then shape my son to be a man of God. If you know your kids are involved in lifestyles they ought not be involved in, or they're doing things you ought not do, you better hit your knees, friend, because you got a devil who's a roaring lion trying to devour. But you know what? You got a God who is their shepherd, who is their protector, who is their defender, and you can pray for your kids and your grandkids. You can pray for your family. You can pray for your spouse. You can pray for God, protect my marriage. That brings us to number five. I love this part. This may be my favorite part of the verse. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because God's with me. Pray for protection. Pray for protection. So you pray for guidance, provision, peace, character, and protection. I love that phrase, thy rod and thy staff comfort me. You got to get a picture of this. This is a word picture of how God protects you. Remember the shepherd's staff, the big long stick with the curve? Do you know the point of that? It's a walking stick for the shepherd. But you know what the real purpose of that staff was back in Bible days? If a sheep began to scatter away from the shepherd too much, he would take that staff and he'd hold the bottom of it and take the hook and he'd hook that sheep and bring him back in. That's what God does to you, and you begin to wander off the right path. God will take his staff And he will hook you with it, and he will bring you back close to him. Because God knows the closer to him you are, the safer you are. And the further away or the longer distance from God you are, the more unsafe you are. So God will take his staff when you begin to wander off the right path, and he'll bring you. You know what the club is? It's a club. When those lions come after the sheep, he beats them over the head with that club. That's what it says. The staff and the rod. That rod is a weapon the shepherd would use to defend his sheep. The staff is a way to bring the shepherd close to him. And that's exactly what God does for you. Today, Pastor Kathy is not here. She's been in Washington, D.C. Our daughter and her family are moving to Costa Rica tomorrow. My son-in-law works for the government, and he's going to be on a 3-year assignment to Costa Rica. So my wife is driving home from D.C. today, a 12-hour drive without stopping. And she's riding with her sister, and her sister brought her 2-year-old grandson. I called Kathy this morning. They've been on the road a couple of hours. She goes, you know that song, The Bills on the Bus Go Round and Round, Round and Round? I mean, you're a grandparent if you know that song, right? Kathy says they've listened to that song a million times already because Henry, the little 2-year-old, insists that they keep playing that song over and over and over again. And if they don't play it, he starts crying. So Kathy goes, I may be a mad woman, but trying to get home, 12 hours of driving to the bus, go round and round, round and round, round. That's what they're doing. But I prayed for protection for my wife today that she'd have safety coming home. My daughter and her husband and a 2-year-old grandson and an 8-month-old grandson are flying to a foreign country tomorrow. 3-year assignment. Think I'm praying for protection over my family? Absolutely. As pastor, I pray a prayer of protection on this church almost on a daily basis. I say, God, build a dome of protection over First Assembly. Let there be no division or dissension or strife into our church. We've got things so good here. I mean, we've had a most wonderful year, over a year and a half. I just love being here. But I know there's a devil that wants to cause division in our church, right? So I pray. We don't have any. I mean, God, things are great. But I prayed this morning, God, I pray a dome of protection over First Assembly. Let it be like a spiritual force field. Let there be no division or strife. Let there be no offense in our church. But God, protect us from that kind of thing. I'm asking you, would you start praying that over our church? See, we want to pray against division before it happens and not trying to get out of it once it happens, right? It's a lot easier. I've kind of learned I like to avoid those things, right? Best way to avoid those things. You might be saying, you know, right now, Kevin, I'm good. My kids are living great right now. Good. Pray that they don't go astray. Don't wait till your kid's an alcoholic before you pray he gets delivered from alcohol. Begin to pray right now for them. God, keep my children from evil. Keep them from evil. Keep them from that stuff. If you've got little, I see some of you parents, I see Clayton over here, got 2 beautiful daughters. That'll be praying for those girls' husbands today. God, let them find them when they get around 30, you know, start praying that. And may they find men of God who will love my daughters and take care of my... That's prayer, friends. See, when I begin to pray like that, my prayer time becomes an adventure. It becomes real to me because the stakes are high. If you're praying for your daughter's husbands when they're still in like small, really, you could pray 20 years and God can bring the right men in their life. You don't wait till they're 18 or 16 and start dating. No, you pray now. If you've got little kids, pray now. If you've got little kids, pray now for those spouses. Pray now that your grandchildren will meet the right people. See, now prayer to me is meaningful to me. It's an adventure to me because I'm praying about things that matter to me. Does that make sense? It means something to me when I pray for my grandchildren. Told you a few weeks ago, our oldest grandson last year at school was bullied. Wasn't physically harmed, but you know, that old phrase, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will ever hurt you. My oldest grandson learned at 12 years old, that ain't true. He was treated pretty badly at school with some words. And here recently, he finally told his parents that he couldn't read the board. It's not chalkboard anymore, I just aged myself. But whatever board they use in schools nowadays, that he couldn't read the board. And so he had to get an eye exam. and he needs glasses. My grandson told his dad, "Dad, if I go to school, back to school with glasses, I have no chance. They'll make fun of me." 12 years old. Now the grandfather in me wants to go beat those boys up. You know, the grandfather in me wants to take care of that, right? I was teasing Ryder. I said, "You know, I know some missionaries in Russia, and there's a Russian mob. We can call them, and those boys just might disappear one day. We'll never know what happened to them." And he's like, "Pep, you can't do that." I go, "I know, but I sure want to right now, right?" Now they're going to try to get where he can wear contacts because he was so stressed about wearing glasses at school. I mean, he was just stressed over it. I pray for protection. You know what? That does something to a kid. It does something to a kid. But the only thing I could do about it is pray. Just pray. And I believe there's a God who hears prayer who will protect my grandson from that. Two more. Isn't this great? Just to pray Psalm 23. All the things, we know we're praying the word of God. God's going to hear our prayers. Number six, pray for victory. I love this phrase. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies." Now, one thing, just because you pray doesn't mean you'll never have enemies or never be in a battle. You know what David is saying here? He's feasting in the fight. Because I got enemies attacking me. But God's made me a ribeye steak and some baked potato and a side salad. And as my enemies are surrounding me, I'm eating some steak right now. He's prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies, that anointeth my head with oil, and my cup doesn't run dry. My cup runneth over. Pray for spiritual victory. Pray that you'll find the right job. Pray for whatever victory you need in your life. Begin to pray for victory. God is a God. He's for you, not against you. He's got a good plan for you. Pray for success. Pray for success at your work. Pray for success at school. Pray that God help you make good grades. Now listen, don't do this. Don't not study for exam and then when they give you the test, "Oh, God, help me." Don't do that. You got to study. But as you do your part, I want to tell you something. God can make you successful in school. God can make you successful in your work. God can make you successful in your ministry. God can give you victory. You may have enemies in your life. You may be going through a spiritual battle right now. Maybe life's not going the way you thought it would. Maybe you're going through a family battle, a relationship, whatever. God can prepare a table for you in the midst of your enemies. He can give you victory. You can feast in the fight. I love that. You can feast in the fight. And then lastly, and worship team, come forward. This may be the most important prayer that you can pray. Pray for more of God's presence. Pray for more of God's presence. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Let's stop there. Surely goodness. God's got good things for you, friend. You could pray the morning, "God, I pray the day I'll experience your goodness. I pray today my family will experience your goodness." As pastor, I could pray, "God, I pray that the people of First Assembly, God, today will experience the goodness of God." You can pray that. I encourage you to do it. And pray for mercy. You know what mercy is? "God, don't give me the judgment I deserve. God, don't give my family God, we're not perfect. We've made mistakes. We've done and said things we shouldn't. God, don't give us what we deserve. God, give us mercy." Tomorrow morning, pray those two prayers. "God, may me and my family experience your goodness today. And God, may we experience your mercy." Then look at this. "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You know what David's praying there? Again, he's in the midst of his enemies, right? But he says, "God, in the midst of my enemies, give me more of you. Give me more of you." To dwell in the house of God's presence means, dwell in the house of the Lord means, "God, I want to experience your presence today. See, I believe it's possible for you to experience God's presence throughout your life.